From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. In Washington State, some prisoners are serving life sentences for crimes they committed when they were under the age of 18. Well, last year, a U.S. Supreme Court ruling struck down Washington's mandatory life without parole sentence for juvenile defendants convicted of aggravated first-degree murder. So what is an appropriate sentence? We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Joining us with two perspectives on this is Dan Satterberg. He's the King County prosecutor, and also State Representative Mary Helen Roberts, who represents the 21st Legislative District in Southwest Snohomish County. Thanks to both of you for taking the time.
Hi, Ross. It's good to be with you.
Dan, maybe you could first of all give us some perspective on this. What types of crimes did these inmates commit before they were 18 that resulted in them getting mandatory life sentences?
Well, this is for aggravated murders only, not your typical murder, but aggravated, which usually means more than one victim. It can also be the murder of a police officer, the kinds of cases that for adults also qualify for the death penalty. What the Miller versus Alabama case said was that in those cases, judges cannot automatically give a life sentence. That they could still give a life sentence, but it would have to be the product of some discretion that the court could exercise.
Do you think that was the right decision by the high court?
You know, the court has, in a series of decisions, tried to show that they recognize the difference between juveniles and adults, and this is, you know, in line with that. Let me say first, though, these aggravated murders committed by juveniles are extremely rare. In the last 40 years in King County, we've had exactly three. So they're pretty rare, but when they do happen, they can be pretty awful also.
Representative Mary Helen Roberts, I know you agree with the Supreme Court decision striking down the mandatory life sentence for juveniles who committed these murders. But to go further, you think that that should not be an option for judges?
Well, what we are proposing in the bill that I'm the prime sponsor for is that juveniles would not be sentenced to a mandatory life without parole, and we are leaving the door open for a life sentence. But the brain science tells us that adolescents really have not reached the full capacity to comprehend consequences. They're very easily influenced by peers, and the Supreme Court tells us that they lack the moral culpability and capacity for change that adults do. So this bill would more or less postpone finalizing the sentence that it needs to be life until they become adults, until they've had some time in prison to show the capacity for reform.
Dan Satterberg, King County prosecutor, do you think judges should have the power to sentence juveniles to prison without parole, to life without parole in certain cases?
Absolutely. And let me tell you a real-life story, a real case that's going to come back for sentencing here in King County once the legislature comes up with a legal sentence to sentence them to. This was in 1997. Two 17-year-olds, actually they were 3 months, 4 months shy of being 18, David Anderson and Alex Barani, decided, just for the thrill of it, to go kill a young woman named Kimberly Wilson, who was 20 years old. They lured her to a park, strangled and beat her to death, and then decided that they better go kill her family because they might know where that Kimberly had gone to the park. So they broke into the Wilson home and strangled, beat, stabbed, and bludgeoned the mother, the father, and the 17-year-old daughter. So they killed four people in an hour in Bellevue in 1997. Horrible. Just one of the worst, most gruesome crime scenes we've ever seen. And all for the reason that they gave police later was that they were bored and they wanted to see what it was like to kill somebody. They were given a life sentence because they were a couple months shy of 18. They didn't face the death penalty. These guys are psychopathic. I don't want them back on the streets ever. They deserve to be locked up. I'm concerned that the legislature has lost sight of some of the real facts that are behind these cases and are tending toward the theoretical. We can't tell the judge that they have to let these guys out in 20 years or 25 years or make the prosecutor continue to prove every couple years that they're still dangerous. And the judge should have the right to sentence to life. That's what the Miller versus Alabama case allows. And all it says is that the judge should consider other options, but we shouldn't remove the life without possibility of release option exactly for guys like Varani and Anderson.
Mary Helen Roberts, representative, you think that we should not be able, judges should not be able to do this, even if you're correct, if young people are less to blame than adults because their brains are not completely developed. We have the King County prosecutor raising just the issue of public safety, that putting away people for life guaranteed would make us safer. What do you think?
Well, I don't know that there are absolute answers. In the case that Dan has just outlined, it does sound horrific. But these young men will serve a minimum of 20 to 25 years before they're given any kind of review. And what the Supreme Court talks about is the capacity for change. And there's no guarantee that they will ever be released. I don't think it's burdensome to review their case after 20 or 25 years, and then on a five-year basis. But this law applies to more than 17-year-olds that have done something horrific. We've incarcerated a 13-year-old in a much serious or much less serious crime. And so when you have to write a law that applies to a large population, what we're trying to do is allow the flexibility that the court might wish to exercise. So it's very likely that those young men would be sentenced to life and possibly or probably never released. But I'm looking for public policy for the state of Washington that makes it very clear that we understand that juveniles are different from adults and that they must be sentenced differently, and that we are open to the possibility of reform and redemption. That's why we call our system a corrections system and why we call our facilities reformatories.
Representative Mary Helen Roberts, we're talking today with Mary Helen Roberts and also Dan Satterberg, the King County prosecutor, about two variations of changing the laws in Washington State having to do with juveniles, those under the age of 18. The Supreme Court has thrown out the notion that there should be a mandatory life sentence for juveniles in aggravated murder cases. So now the state has to figure out what to do instead. As you just heard Mary Helen Roberts argue, there should not be any kind of life without parole sentence for these younger people for the reasons that she gave. Dan Satterberg, King County prosecutor, what about the idea that even if they are not given life without parole, there would be a long period of time to evaluate whether these people had changed while they were in prison so that you'd all have an opportunity to make a reasoned judgment about after 20 years, perhaps they should be released.
Right. Now, the competing bill is the Senate bill 5064, and it would say that going forward, if there was a new case that a juvenile who had committed an aggravated murder would be sentenced to 30 years to life without parole. And at 30 years, a judge could, or not the judge, taking it out of the court, at 30 years, what the ISRB, which is kind of our parole board here in Washington, would be able to consider what they'd done in prison, consider risk assessment tools that might exist in 30 years, and decide whether or not they could be released with some sort of supervisory condition. So that's our floor is 30, and in the House, the floor is alternately 20 or 25 years. But we also have a ceiling of life without possibility of release for the outrageous cases like the one I described.
This is a question for both of you. Why is there a magic age beyond which one should be considered culpable and below which one should be considered less culpable? I mean, doesn't that depend entirely on the individual? Is a birthday really a signifier of one's ability to feel remorse or understand guilt, Representative Roberts?
Well, I think you've raised a very good question, because it's really tradition that we have set a magic age. And when the laws were established that said that at 18 you are considered a criminal in a way that you wouldn't have been before, or at 21 you're considered an adult at ways you wouldn't have been before. And all of those laws and policies were established before we ever started doing any of the brain science that is now really taking an important step into the decision-making that that we're facing in terms of establishing laws like this. And that shows that when you are 14 or 17 or 19, your brain is still finishing. It still hasn't reached a level of total maturity.
But these are general.
It doesn't come until about 25.
But these are general studies, I guess, Representative Roberts. And what I'm not clear about is whether a general study like that, which shows that in general this is the way the brain develops, really has anything to say. Could someone who's 19 or 20 maybe be not as far developed as someone who's much younger than that? Dan Setterberg, what about the age thing that automatically, in which responsibility automatically clicks in legally?
Well, Ross, I think age itself is simply one factor, and chronology is kind of an arbitrary factor. But having said that, I support the need in juvenile court to work on rehabilitation, to give kids a chance to do something stupid and not have it dog them the rest of their life. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about aggravated murder cases, and that's, the juvenile jurisdiction runs out at age 21, so we can't be handling murder cases in juvenile court only to have a 3 or 4 year sentence be imposed. So we've struck some exemptions from the juvenile system for 16 and 17 year olds charged with serious violent crimes, and then for any juvenile charged with aggravated murder. I think we have to distinguish those. Once people are being murdered, I think that's a different category. But if you're talking about shoplifting or car theft or something like that, I fully support the efforts to give kids another chance.
We're going to get to your phone calls in a moment. 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's toll-free, 800-289-5869. Or you can write to us, conversation@KUOW.org. Dan Satterberg, do you agree that the research into juvenile brains is really important to take into account here? Do we know more about whether these young people even know what they are doing than we did before?
Well, I think it's interesting and it's informative to a point, but we won't know on a specific individual how well that brain is developing. I like to think my brain's still developing, but we're never going to get to the point where we're going to do some sort of brain scan and say, this defendant is more culpable than this one. But I think what it does, like I say, for the most part, is it reinforces why we work on rehabilitation, why we try to teach kids lessons while we still can. But the category of aggravated murder, it's a little bit late to start teaching lessons. They've already committed usually multiple murders by then.
Representative Roberts, what is your sense of this? We've got these two competing bills, the one that would rule out a life sentence without parole, which is your bill, and the one in the Senate, which would allow that to take place. What do you think the votes are here?
Well, I think the two bills aren't that far apart. I think you've pinpointed the differences, but we have in our past treated a 13-year-old who was involved in just one murder the same way we would have treated an adult. I think what the House is proposing is a more flexible approach. It doesn't say that after a certain amount of time this person is getting out, it's very likely that they could have a life sentence. But I do think that flexibility is important, and it's what the Supreme Court acknowledged when they made their decision, that they talked about diminished culpability and the greater prospects for reform of young people, and that they are less deserving of the most severe punishments. They've also likened life without parole to a death sentence. It means serving until you die, and I'd like to take that off the table for any juvenile for any reason. And if once they have become an adult, we think that they deserve to stay there forever, then we will make the decision at that time.
State Representative Mary Helen Roberts, thank you very much for taking the time. And also thanks to you, King County Prosecutor Dan Satterberg.
Thanks, Ross.
This is the conversation on KUOW. A lot of reaction to this, to these articles in the newspaper about this, many of them talking about the case of the three 15-year-old boys convicted of beating to death Ed McMichael, known as the Tuba Man. They did not qualify for any kind of a mandatory life sentence. But since this murder took place, one of these, now 19, has been involved in a fatal shooting in Bellevue last December. He's now wanted in that case. Another went to prison for ramming a woman's car. And many people are using that as an example of why we should be tougher on these juveniles than we are. 206-543-5869, if you've got some thoughts to add on that. Let's go to Nick Straley. Nick's been listening patiently to this, and you've got some personal interest in this decision. Why, Nick?
Yeah, hi. So I work at Columbia Legal Services, and we've been working on this issue for some time. And we and others are part of a national effort to do away with locking kids up for the rest of their lives without the opportunity for parole. And that's what Representative Roberts was really talking about, is that there's no reason, it's unnecessary to decide at sentencing whether a child is utterly irredeemable and should never be released from prison. And the common sense approach that Representative Roberts is suggesting is exactly the right way we should go. Basically, it does not guarantee release for any child. All it says is that after 20 to 25 years, there will be a review of that child's sentence and that child's situation to determine whether that child is safe to be returned to society. So the instance that Prosecutor Satterberg raised is addressed in this bill and is taken into consideration, that if it turns out that in 20 to 25 years these men should not be released, they will not be released. It's the common sense approach. And in fact, Representative Roberts' approach is also in line with what's going on nationally and what the public in Washington State believes. We commissioned a study of Washington residents to determine what their feelings were about parole eligibility, and 84% of those people believe that kids, no matter what they have done, should be eligible for parole at 25 years. Only 6% believe that kids should never be released from prison.
You know, surveys are surveys. But what about when you bring up some of these specific instances and some of the specific details around the instances? Does that change the answer to that question?
Not necessarily, because what the court said in Miller and what is the right thing to do with kids is look at individualization of the sentence. So you take into consideration the seriousness of the crime. You take into consideration the child's life factors that they come to court with, and you make an individualized assessment. And periodically, as they go through the prison system, you reevaluate to determine whether they continue to be dangerous and whether they continue to be it's appropriate to keep them in jail. It's the right way to go when you're talking about kids. In fact, Washington, if they go with the approach that Prosecutor Satterberg is suggesting, will be out of the norm for the rest of the country. Wyoming, not known as a bastion of liberalism, just passed a law that's very similar to the one that Representative Roberts is suggesting. It does away, it eradicates life without parole for any children, and it sets a term of 25 to life,
yeah,
a system that is exactly like what Representative Roberts is proposing. So, you know, we would like to believe that we should be more progressive, more forward-oriented than Wyoming, but Wyoming is leading Washington right now on where we're going with
Nick Straley, thanks very much for sharing that with us with Columbia Legal Services. He works on cases like this. We're going to leave the last word to Judy, who's giving us a call today from Enumclaw. Judy, thanks for giving us a call. What do you think? Should there be mandatory life without parole for youths, for juveniles?
It depends on the crime. I think when it comes to murder, unfortunately, at Christmas time, we were all discussing the tuba man,
right,
and how he was brutally kicked to death. And the young man who kicked him to death was out on parole after 4 years,
right,
which is horrific.
Yeah.
And not only is it horrific, he killed another man, and then he's setting an example to other kids that, or to me, it's saying, where are the boundaries?
Right. Judy, we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thanks very much for sharing that. And if this is an issue which you have a definite opinion about, you should contact your lawmaker, because it is before the state legislature right now. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.